Please be seated. Regardless of how you feel about the outcome of the presidential elections last week, aren't you glad that they're over? No more commercials, no more debates, no more mudslinging, at least for another few years. I read a quote on the day of the election, one person's thought about what we were facing on that day. He said this, "We stand today at a crossroads. One path leads to despair and utter hopelessness. The other leads to total extinction." Kind of a cynical view of what we were facing that day. And then after the elections, we still have people taking sides. We have people protesting the results of the elections. I, for one, get to the point that during the run-up to the elections, and now even with the aftermath of the elections, with all the turmoil and the strife, I just say, Lord, can't you come back sooner than later? But is that going to be a good thing for the Lord to return, that is? Well, it depends. It depends on what side you're on. Because on Judgment Day, it does make a difference what side you're on. Let's listen to our Bible reading for today from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" This is God's word. So when Jesus comes back at the end of time, he will sit in judgment over you. That's the scene that's depicted here in this account of the Son of Man, of Jesus coming back to sit on his throne to judge. Now, maybe you've never been in a courtroom before in the situation of being the defendant, of being the one standing before the judge, waiting for that verdict to come down, a verdict that's going to affect your fate for the rest of your existence. So put yourself in that spot for just a moment. You know that you're guilty. You know you've been trying to hide it. Perhaps you've even convinced yourself in part, but you know. Deep down, if you're honest with yourself, you know. You know all the things that you should have done that you didn't. All the times that you ignored your friends as they pleaded for your help. All the times you blew off your family when they really needed you around. All the times that you were selfish and refused to help that person who truly was destitute. All the times that you didn't have time to go see your friend in the hospital. All the times that you let down the people who depend on you the most. And then, as if they're needed to be more, you know all the times that you did things that you weren't supposed to. In your head is that laundry list of all the times that you've broken the commandments, time after time, a list so long that you can't even begin to keep track of them. Your mistrust of God and misuse of his name, the mouthing off to your parents, the misplaced desire for someone other than your spouse, the murderous rage you feel when you get mad at someone. One infraction is enough to put you away for good, but thousands upon thousands of them, you're sunk. So as you stand there before the judge, what do you expect? You're already anticipating hearing that booming voice in that cavernous hall, "Guilty!" You're pretty much resigned to your fate of going to the fiery depths of hell because you know that's what you deserve. But again, what side are you on? What side of the judge are you on, that is? Are you on his right side or on his left? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? You see, that picture before that we had of the courtroom was a little bit inaccurate. You're not standing there all by yourself in front of Jesus the judge. You're there with more people. Well, a lot more people. All people of all time. And as that room fills up with people, a separation takes place. Jesus will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. You don't come in there and just choose which side you want to be on. You're put on one side or the other. Jesus puts you either on his right side or his left. He puts you with the sheep on the right, the goats on the left, or those who believe in him on his right, those who don't on his left, those who are going to inherit heaven on his right, those who will end up in hell on his left. Sounds pretty stark, pretty drastic, doesn't it? Indeed, later in this account, it says that the people on both sides of that divide are confused. The goats, the people on the left, they can't figure out what they didn't do to make it to the right side. They can't figure out how they ended up as goats. What did they miss? When did they miss it? And even those on the right side of Jesus are confused. He tells them all the things that they did right, and they can't recall doing all of those things for Jesus. They were simply living out their lives that reflected the love of their Savior to those around them. When it comes down to it, that is what got them to the right side of the judge. No, not what they did, what he did. What he did for them. His love for them is what made them into his sheep. His love for them, him becoming a sheep himself, a sacrificial lamb nonetheless. Never sinning, never stumbling, even though he was tempted in every way as we are. Never shying away from the sacrifice of the cross. Never letting death have the final word. His love for them, his love for us is what brings us to his right side. So isn't it going to be more than wonderful on that day to hear Jesus say, not guilty, but to say, come, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is our rightful inheritance, something that we get simply because God wants to give it to us. We didn't do anything for it. We didn't earn it. We didn't somehow act better than the goats. No, God gives us heaven because he loves us, because he wants to give it to us, and because Jesus earned it for us. So yes, the thought of the last day, of judgment day, can be a little intimidating, to say the least. We know what we're like. We know how we live our lives. We know what we deserve from Jesus the judge. But remember that Jesus is also our shepherd. And as our shepherd, he loves us. He takes care of us. He's done everything necessary to secure heaven for us. On that last day, he will still be our gracious shepherd when he places us on his right side, on the right side, and presents to us the inheritance that he earned for us. Be comforted as you think about that last day, as you look forward to that last day, when you will hear your Savior say, come. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Gracious Savior, loving Shepherd, forgive us for the times that we live as though we are not members of your precious flock. Strengthen us to find opportunities to serve you by serving others. Give us comfort, assurance, and joy as we look forward to your return, and give us many chances to spread the good news of your love to everyone we meet. In your name, we ask these things. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.